Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Now, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome to the program. My name's Will Kuntz. Anna Hummel will be here in just a minute. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate it if you joined us on the live stream as well on Wednesdays around 5:30-ish on YouTube and Facebook. Check HMB Radio, all one word. And subscribe to that. And you can join us and interact with the show. It's a fun time. Appreciate it if you did that. You can get in touch via phone and text, voicemail, 813-693-2124. HMBradio.com is the website. Home_made_man is Twitter and Instagram for myself. And Anna Hummel Radio, which I don't think she's on social media anymore, but you can follow her if you want to. I'm sure she would appreciate it. Probably not. So, man, I don't know. I feel like I got to get sports talk out of the way before Anna joins us because, my God, the Tampa Bay Lightning are just on a tear. They keep it going on the quest for the third consecutive Stanley Cup. They blank the Florida Panthers from Sunrise down there in Miami 4-0. Boom, just like that, series over. The best team in the NHL. Now, I'm not a big NHL guy. I do follow the Lightning a little bit during the regular season, but I am a big fan during the playoffs, and I follow it very, very intently. they got a lot of games, so what could I tell you? Bucks, 16 games, I could do that, no problem. But I'm in and out, you know, during the regular season, same with the Rays. Pay kind of a tacit attention to what's going on, but you know, it's exciting for the Tampa Bay area. I think the Bucks get all the shine because we got the great Tom Brady back for one more year. It's Super Bowl or bust mentality for them. But really, I mean, the most successful sports franchise, I'm hesitant to say the world, but maybe right here in Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Lightning going for the third Stanley Cup. I mean, there's nothing like it. Not in the modern day era of salary caps, and it's been something like 40 years since a team has done it, and this was, you know, pre-salary cap days. So what the Tampa Bay Lightning are achieving right now is just incredible. They head to the Eastern Conference Finals. They are going to be playing either the Hurricanes from Carolina or the Rangers from New York in the Eastern Conference Finals. We don't know who they will be playing yet. And that game, that series looks like it may be going seven games. Right now, as I record this, it's two games apiece there, so it's a best of three series. Lightning are going to get a nice long break before starting up that series with whoever that is, and that's good because the Lightning are missing some pieces. They played a lot of hockey. They'll get a nice long rest. Hopefully Braden Point can come back and contribute, because remember, too, that Braden Point, I mean, maybe their best player on the team, was out entirely pretty much for that. I think he was out, actually, for that whole series against the Panthers. He got hurt against the Maple Leafs, so be nice to have him back potentially. I hear that may not happen, though. His injury may be pretty serious. And I noticed that hockey injuries are like, it's not, he's got a strained quad, he'll be out 2 weeks, you know, like they do with football. It's upper body, lower body, out indefinitely, day to day, that type of stuff. So right now, Braden Point, day to day to come back, and hopefully he can, because that would be a big help against whoever they play. But they look locked in, man. They got their goalie is the best goalie in the world, and the Tampa Bay Lightning plays great defense. They block so many shots that don't get through to him, but I think he faced something like, I want to say 80. That seems really high, but I swore that's what I heard this morning on a podcast in that game four against the Panthers, and not a single goal went through against Andre Vasilevsky. So I don't know. I feel like he's maybe the greatest goalie of all time, you know, and it's not, his career's not even over yet. He probably's got a good long while to go. So I don't know. I also heard, too, is that, let's say, you know, not to put my classic Kuntz jinx on these guys, but if they win that third Stanley Cup, I think everybody except two of those players are under contract for next year. So including Vasilevsky. So, I mean, they could be going for four next year. So I don't know. It's very exciting if you're a hockey fan, and if you're a kind of a fake hockey fan like me, where you get into it in the playoffs. It's nice to have something to root for until football season starts in a few months. And hopefully the Rays can continue to do mediocre, I guess. I don't know. They're hanging in the AL East, but man, I want that shirt so bad. The three trophies. The Commissioner's Trophy, the Stanley Cup, and the Lombardi Trophy all together with Title Town USA on it with Tampa Bay. I just want that shirt. That would be great. I'd wear it every day. I'd get five, so I could just wear it every day. So we'll be looking forward to that and rooting on the Tampa Bay Lightning. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. This is this show is with Anna is a live stream that we do Wednesdays around 5:30, 6 o'clock, somewhere around there. And I could record the audio and then I put it into a podcast. And then, you know, if you get the podcast, you get this little commentary about the Lightning up front. How about that? Pretty good, huh? I think so. And make sure you give it 5 stars wherever you're listening, and like the pages, Facebook, you know, all that. I can't keep up with these anymore. I got so many. My buddy was telling me to get TikTok. No chance. I'm done. I'm capped. I can't do it anymore. So get on the YouTube and hit the bell. That way it will notify you when Anna and I are live and you can join in on the show. And if you miss it, I've heard people say, I don't want to do the live stream because I like listening to the podcast on Sundays. I go, that's fine. I understand. And I'm a podcast listener too. I rarely listen to live, you know, events. So I totally get that. So please enjoy. Thank you. Hello, Anna.
Hello, Will. Thank you for having me today, as always.
I'd like to apologize first to President Zelensky of Ukraine and to Chancellor, or whatever goofy phrase they have for their president over there, Vladimir Putin. This was supposed to be a negotiation for peace today on this live stream, but unfortunately I had to bump them because you were able to show up. So I had to bump Zelensky and Putin, maybe next week, guys. You know, if you're still alive, we can work something out. But welcome to the program. And it was kind of weird, Anna, because you go, are we going to talk about this shooting? And I said, if you want to. And you said, I don't know. It's kind of a big story. And I said, yeah, I suppose it is.
I feel like if it would, we would be remiss if we didn't.
Yeah.
But I mean, not that I do or don't want to talk about it, but it's like, what else do you discuss when it's the biggest news story on the planet right now? So,
well, there was a shooting, yeah, in Texas yesterday. A disgruntled young man went into an elementary school, shot his grandmother, and then 18 years old, headed over to an elementary school that was across the street and killed a bunch of kids.
Crashed his vehicle. Into like a shootout with some border agent officers, police officers, law enforcement, and then sought refuge inside of the elementary school instead of, I believe it was a fourth grade classroom, and shot up 19 students and two faculty members. Well, he shot more, but those were the ones that passed away.
Yeah. And it seemed to be, you know, of course we're finding out now. I'm not going to be surprised. I'm speculating here, but I'm assuming that this kid was probably on the FBI's radar, as many of these kids are. The Buffalo kid was. They dropped the ball on that. The kid down in Florida that did his St. Valentine's Day mess. Cruz. Yeah. It was another one that was...
Sorry.
Yeah, it was on the radar there, and they let him sneak by. It seems like they dropped the ball a lot of times, and maybe their records, you know, you don't hear about the wins, you only hear about the losses, so maybe they are catching these kids before they do stuff, but I'm not going to be surprised if this kid was on their radar and kind of slipped through the cracks there. Of course, he posted about it on social media. I saw today that he was going to do something crazy, but...
It was like... 30 minutes. He said there were three Facebook posts. First one was, I'm going to shoot my grandmother. The second one was, I shot my grandmother. And then the third one was, I'm going to shoot an elementary school. But this was like 15 minutes before he did it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't like days or weeks or anything. It was minutes. So.
Yeah. And of course, everybody's jumping to their preferred political viewpoint in this thing.
Can't blame white supremacy on this one, though.
Oh, they'll try. They will try. They'll do the George Zimmerman and say that he's a white Hispanic or something.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be the case yet. Right now, it's just full tilt, you know, banning quote unquote assault weapons. He did purchase two rifles, which I heard that his grandfather didn't even know that he owned, which is a little scary. His mother came out and said that he wasn't a violent kid. This seems like just another misfit. And I really think I saw a stat today that the FBI said these shootings have gone up 52% in 2021. I kind of blame this and kind of go back to, I think that when history is written and we go back to this time period, if we make it, you know, a few more decades, that I think this is going to be one of those things that we don't have any idea how much COVID took from us. I think that the mental mind frame of people suffered so much during these COVID era, being locked up, just having life flip turn upside down.
People that were on the edge. This isn't right. Like your run-of-the-mill average person. This is someone who is like on the precipice of doing something insane. And then this was kind of just the extra little push they needed to really go over to the dark side.
Yeah. Yeah. So I, you know, I don't know. I see these, just the appeals to emotion. You know, I'd like to be as logical as I can with these things. Cause I think I'm an emotional person somewhat, but I tried to be logical in these things and just seeing, man, the social media posts today, just based on raw emotion. And then if you dare, you know, I mean, I would never comment on any of these things. Anyways, that's a no-win situation. Putting your political viewpoints on social media is just there's not much winning you can do there. It's either going to be people who agree with you and give you a thumbs up or a star or whatever, a heart, or it's going to be people go, you know, that's not really true. And then you fight with somebody who was once your friend, and now they're not your friend anymore. So it's
Go ahead. So I'm going to take it in a different direction, so finish.
I was just going to say it's really useless to do these things, but people feel the need, and I get it. You know, it's either go out and scream, you know, at the top of your lungs, you know, outside your home, or you can kind of get it out there to lots of people. So I get why people do it, but just the illogical positions that people are taking, just no thought, no mind, all heart during these times. But it's frustrating to see, and it's an awful thing that happened. And, you know, these politicians wasted no time to get going their positions and use this as a political club to club the other side with. And it just makes me sick.
Yes. As far as solutions go, I mean, you know, obviously this is an incredible tragedy, and you can hem and haw about, you know, prayer and this and that, but like, let's skip to the solution part. And a lot of people are quick to jump and say, listen, we need to ban guns or assault weapons. And to be honest with you, I'm not very well versed in firearms. So I'm like, all right, what's the difference between an assault weapon and just a non-assault weapon? As far as I know, like, all guns are used to assault people, you know, with defense or non, but, you know, whatever. So we were kind of throwing around ideas on my show today, on the Bubba Love Sponge show. And we started talking about, you know, potentially arming teachers or faculty members, coaches, so that they can have guns on them. Because let's not forget the person that took out the gunman yesterday was a Border Patrol officer, and he killed him with a gun. So, yes, this gunman killed a bunch of people with gun, but he was also killed, and, you know, they were able to stifle any further carnage that could have been done by using a firearm to stop the killer, right? That's a good thing. We started kind of throwing around, you know, do you think that your students or children would be safer or less, more or less safe if faculty were able to be armed with a firearm? You know, and I'm not a parent, and I'm not super well versed on the statistics, probably more than most, but not really, about, you know, would that be better or worse than the problem? If this, obviously, if the solution is worse than the problem, then it's not really much of a solution at all. But if we're to do something, a lot of people really want to eliminate the gun. And I think, although it's counterintuitive, that you almost kind of have to do the opposite, because there's just too many guns in circulation right now that if you were to somehow ban it or outlaw it, I mean, these people are criminals. They don't follow the law by virtue of the fact that they're criminals. They're not going to suddenly go, oh, well, it's against the law, I'm not going to do it. I'm like, yeah, so is murdering people, but clearly that doesn't stop them. So we were kind of throwing around the idea of arming faculty members, because as far as I know, you're not allowed to bring a gun on any sort of campus, unless you're, I guess, a patrol officer or police officer, whatever. What do you think about that? Do you think that schools would be safer if Coach Leary was armed? Not necessarily that you would know, but that teachers, and again, not just give anybody a gun, but say, make it really regulated. You know, you have to spend a certain amount of hours each semester, quarter, training. You can only, you know, they set aside funds to train these teachers in the event that there's a school shooter. Do you think that that would provide more of a safe haven for students, or do you think it would make the situation worse?
Well, I think it's counterintuitive thinking, but I think you're definitely onto something there. I don't know if I would trust a bunch of teachers with the way they're dancing on TikTok and the things they put on TikTok with a firearm in the classroom, but I do like the idea of having some sort of armed security, you know, on staff there. That's been proposed, of having, you know, former, you know, military dudes who are very familiar with their weapons, you know, guarding schools. I think that that would be a good deterrent for.
Yeah. And I mean, even, you know, your regular citizen is and should be allowed to own and purchase a firearm, a law abiding citizen. And these many teachers are just that, law abiding citizens. I wouldn't just say, here's a gun, like, have fun at school. You know, they should be well-trained, and they should keep up on gun safety. It shouldn't just be a course you take one time and you designate, what, 5 hours of practice and you're done. It should be something that, you know, you keep up. But I keep thinking about the Parkland shooting, where they did have someone who was an armed officer, and he ran away like a little bit, you know, pee. So That's also a problem. But I think that guy's, you know, less of the exception, or more of the more the exception rather than the rules.
So. I would have to confirm this, but I heard that there was, I'm afraid I don't want to spread misinformation or anything, that there was a similar occurrence with yesterday's events with law enforcement. And this Border Patrol agent was, you know, happened to be there or something. I don't know. I'd have
he
to look
off,
more.
He was an off-duty officer. I'm a little bit confused as to, like, because apparently there were on and off-duty officers that responded to the incident. So I'm like, how were off? I don't know. I didn't really get it, but it seemed like, did they also have, like, their radios on and heard and just, like, ran to the scene? Like, I don't really know how they were, like, there, but whatever.
Yeah, I don't either. I do like the idea of, you know, I think that, like you said, there's more guns than people in this country, and it's written into our, you know, it's written into our Constitution. I don't see how you can just, now we don't, you know, the people that are in power don't abide by the Constitution, so it's not like they couldn't easily edit that part out, but I mean, it is explicitly stated in the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. It's a fundamental building block of what this country is supposed to be. Now the Constitution is ignored every single day, so they would find some way, you know, around that, making another amendment. You could do that just as easy to get
that
rid of the Second
Amendment.
That
was written for muskets, not, you know,
yeah.
guns with magazines that can shoot multiple rounds, you know.
Right, right. Which is, you know, that's been debunked so many times. They had Gatling guns, back then. So, you know, I don't know. And then it's like, well, if the government wants to take you out, they'll just nuke you or something, or drone bomb you. And it's like, okay. You know, you get into the weeds with this stuff. I think it's pretty easy just to say, well, it's right here in the U.S. Constitution that we are entitled to have these things. And, you know, I get it that people don't want them, but you don't have to buy one. And, you know, It's a very complicated issue, but
I did come up with a solution, though.
You did? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I did. I was actually quite proud of my idea, and I'm considering running for Congress.
Oh,
so,
damn.
Just letting you know. So, let me pitch the idea.
Anna Hamal Luna coming up.
Anna Hamal Luna in this bitch right now. Okay, so here's what I think is not a... Again, this is a... Here's the thing. It's hard to run. It's not hard. It's impossible to run stats on something you've never tried before, right? So you try something new. You're going in a different direction. You go, okay, well, what's the statistical analysis on this outcome? It's like, well, we don't know because we've never tried it before. So at this point, we're never going to ban guns. It's never going away. And if it did, there would be riots in the streets. I mean, there's millions of guns in circulation. There's no way the government can go in and collect every person's every gun. Like, some people have 20 guns. You're just, and in different places, you're just never going to get it. There's not enough resources to collect it, whatever. So then you go, okay, we can't ban guns. What can we do? My thing is, we do more guns. Much like I said, arming not every teacher. It would be like a volunteer basis, right? Teachers, faculty members, staff, coaches, principal, whatever, have the opportunity to, again, get trained, tactical training, firearm training, gun safety training, and something that you have to keep up with, like 10 hours a semester or something like that, right? Again, so we set aside funds so that teachers can be armed themselves. All right. Then what we do is we say, okay, we're going to start arming teachers so that teachers can protect themselves and their classrooms in the event that there is a school shooter. Then what you do is you make it really, really localized, and you have a vote in each county, okay, like a proposition saying, do you think this would be a good idea or a bad idea, yes or no? Do you feel not comfortable, but like, would you allow certain teachers to be armed in the school, given that they do X, Y, Z, mental evaluation, like all of the above, you know, all that sort of stuff. And then what you do is you have that district or county vote on it, okay? And that way the people in the community, because obviously like a community in New York may not feel the same way as a community in Texas, right? So you have each community vote on the best way to keep their own children safe. And in the event that they don't like the outcome of said district or county, how they voted, they could easily just commute or rezone themselves to a different county that voted it a different way where they didn't want the teachers to be armed. But that way we don't have this federal government making laws or even the statewide government making laws for your localized community. Leave it up to the people to make a decision about how they want and what environment they want their kids to be in terms of how they feel the safest. Obviously, there's no guarantees, but at this point, let's try something new. What do you think?
I mean, I don't hate it. I like the idea of getting real local with these laws and stuff like that, and amongst many things. I mean, masks, whatever, over the past few years, because we're so separate with how we like that. Again, it's kind of going to be democracy, though, with your local community kind of deciding how you want to handle these things. And if it's 51-49, you know, it's...
Well, I mean, it is what it is. Then if you don't like the way that your county or district voted, you can rezone your kid to a different county. You know what I mean? Instead of having to move out of the state. You know?
Yeah, I like that. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, it is the Second Amendment in the U.S. Constitution, though, too. So my kind of feeling with that is my rights aren't up for debate, let alone a discussion with that type of stuff. Right.
No, I'm not saying your right to own a gun. It's to have the faculty members be able to have guns, like, be strapped during school hours.
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. I mean, I'm pro that idea. That sounds okay if they're, you know, do their training and everything. I really like the idea of putting, you know, former Marines at schools with high capacity magazines and AR-15s to
and
counter
PTSD.
Potential.
Oh,
well, hopefully not. Ideally not. Because we got a lot of former soldiers out there who are probably in need of work. That would be something good. And you're right. I mean, these things just aren't going anywhere. There's so many of them. And it's, you know, when you ban something, you just create a black market for it. That's the only thing that happens. And it's another business that the cartel can get into. Instead of us shipping these weapons to them, they'll start shipping them to us because that's going to be where the demand is and where the money is. So I don't know. I like the idea of putting armed guards. If the answer is more firearms, not less, I think you're right about that.
It's counterintuitive, like a lot of things. You know, I'm learning, and I've been doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu for a while. I'm actually going to a class tonight. And one of the things that I'm learning is a lot of the movements that we do to get out of something, the defense movements, are very much counterintuitive. You know, maybe your instinct is to pull away, but really what you should do is lean into them. Or, you know, you want to turn this way because you're trying to avoid a choke, but really needs to be the other way. Or even when I was driving in Michigan and you start spinning out on the ice or the snow and you're, you know, you want to turn out of the turn, but you're supposed to turn into the turn. Like all these things, you know, a lot of things in life are very counterintuitive. And it's hard, again, to run stats, not hard, impossible, to run stats on something you haven't tried before. But if you offer a possible solution and then allow the people in the community to vote on how they want their community to respond to these, you know, this uptick in school shootings, I think that is literally the best thing that you can do. Instead of leaving it to these government officials and their political beliefs and what they want to do, and they're being, you know, they're at the behest of the gun lobbyists or whatever. Now you don't have that excuse. Now it's like, all right, this is our community, Pinellas County. How do we want to handle it here? And if Pinellas County votes one way and Hillsborough another, it's easy to, you know, commute the 25, 30 minutes to have your kid go to a school that you feel would be safer for them. So, I mean, like, what would be a better idea than that?
Yeah, I mean, somebody's always going to be unhappy, and you're right, if it's a school that has these armed, you know, people and you don't want your kid at that school, then you can put in some sort of paperwork, you know, add it to the bureaucracy to get them
right
to go to another school.
And yeah, exactly. And much like the great Thomas Sowell said, and we like using this quote a lot, but there's no solutions, there's only trade-offs, right? We're never going to solve violence, you're never going to solve poverty. You're never going to solve drug addiction, but, like, how can we mitigate it, right?
Yeah.
So we start thinking, like, how can we make it less severe? Then we can really start making some progress.
Yeah. I do agree with that. I think you're onto something there.
I'm a genius.
You're a genius, Anna.
Thank you.
There's I feel like it's just one of those things where the emotion comes into play where people aren't thinking rationally and they blame the tool rather than the person. Like, what was going on with this individual? I mean, the amount of guns we have here that are totally are not used this way, I mean, is overwhelming. The amount of guns that are not used in these types of crimes, and people who are, you know, normal people who just want to defend their family and or have them for sport or for whatever reason. You don't need a reason. It doesn't matter.
It's your right. It's your civil right.
Yeah. So, I mean, these are small, like they would just find another way. I saw a video of, it was somewhere in Europe, happened a few weeks ago, and it was a guy who went into a grocery store. Now they don't have, you know, the Second Amendment there, so nobody's armed. I don't even know if the police are armed up there. A guy went into a grocery store with a bow and arrow and killed 6 people with a bow and arrow.
Where was this?
Somewhere in Northern Europe. I can find it and send it to you later. But this happened a few weeks ago. There was that story, you know, China, this happens a lot with stabbings where people go and just stab people. They have knives. You know, I mean, you could put regulations. There's regulations on knives in the UK where you have to register your kitchen knife or something because it's got to be on the books. I mean, it's just like this. People will always find a way. These mentally ill individuals will find a way to hurt people. You can use a car.
Whatever.
It's just, what do you got? And I understand that it makes it easier to just have one of these weapons. But if you really want to do it, and I think a lot of these people want to do it, they'll find other ways. So, you know, and it's just annoying to me because it's just one step. They go, oh, we'll just ban it. And then there won't be these things anymore. And you go, that's just not true.
I mean, alcohol, you know, during Prohibition, that
drugs,
worked out great.
The war on drugs. Drugs have never been more popular than the country. I mean, drugs won that war. And I mean, I think, you know, you can learn from examples from that. It's just, you know, I understand people's anger and I'm empathetic to their arguments because it is, you know, it's just an awful thing. But I think it speaks to why are these young men at such a higher rate over the past year? Like, what changed in the past few years? The only thing that comes to mind really was COVID. That was the lockdowns, the toll that it took on developing minds, and it seems to be particularly young men. I know girls have, you know, the rise in suicide during that time too, and men seem to lash out violently.
They have more time on their hands.
Where they can just go down these rabbit holes.
Right. You're on 4chan, not for an hour, but now 8 hours. And
yeah,
you don't have a job to go to and you don't have a school to go to. And a lot of people, like, I mean, my dad was telling me he's a school teacher. And during COVID, I mean, people just, he'd have students that would like log in. It would just be muted in black square. No one's listening. No one's turning in assignment. Like, no one cares. So, And the kids and the teachers are just passing the kids because they don't want to deal with, you know, the havoc from the parents reaching out. They're just like, all right, you get a C minus, whatever, you know. Yeah. So
that's going to be, people are going to look at that and be like, oh my God, what a time this was.
I know. I'm so thankful I'm not a child.
Me too.
During time, because it would have been a nightmare for my parents, for myself, for everyone. So.
We have something's going on in particularly American culture that's not happening in other places, it seems. And maybe it is. Maybe it's just a Western
thing. I think it is. We're just not hearing about it because we're very focused on ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody else is focused on us too. So it's hard to, we're like a celebrity, you know, everybody thinks that we're important. So we believe it. You know, there's millions of trials going on right now, but everyone's just focused on Johnny Depp and Amanda and Amber Heard, right? So they have this sense of entitlement, and then we wonder why these celebrities do crazy stuff and have a sense of entitlement. It's like because everyone treats them that way. So we're kind of like the celebrity of the planet. So we don't know what's going on in New Zealand now. We don't know. We don't know about any murders going on in Japan. Like, we don't care. Because people are focused on us, and we're focused on us.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, Bob says it's a false flag, surprisingly enough. And Bob, I'd love to have you on, but Ray, I don't want to get banned from YouTube quite yet.
Yeah.
So maybe you
ask Alex Jones how that went.
Yeah, sure. maybe you can call into the radio show and do that one, but I don't want to get thrown off YouTube. So not quite yet. Anyway, soon that will happen, but not quite. Yeah, I mean, this is one of those, it's just, I don't know if there's a good answer that's going to satisfy anyone really, but
no, we would have already thought of it, which is why I'm like proposing something new, which is no one wants to do anything new because we don't know how it's gonna what the outcome is gonna be. But if we just keep doing more of the same, it's clearly not working. So we gotta change course in some direction. And it's like, and then, you know, and after massacres like this, gun sales go through the roof because people get scared that the Democrats are going to ban guns. So gun sales go up. So it's just, it's perpetuated. The guns are not going to get banned. And people keep like going for like the most extreme solution. It's not going to happen. So we got to think a little bit more rationally. And then what ends up happening is it's just a stalemate and nothing gets done. So,
yeah. Yeah, it's a highly, you know, people are highly emotional right now. I get it. And but there is no logic. It's just, I, like I said, I see these social media posts and I'm just like, this is so this is just wild. And the race to blame it on somebody's race is another thing I saw a lot that's just despicable. But you know, and I hate that both sides will do this too, where they you know, they'll read like, oh, it was a Muslim guy, the guy from Syria that shot up the grocery store. And then the people on the other side talk about, oh, of course it's a white dude. It's just, it's so despicable. There are lunatics of every color, every creed, every race that are doing this type of stuff.
Every ideology, yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just despicable. And this is part of the reason why I think it is happening, because everybody's trying to demonize people based on the color of their skin. And it's driving people crazy, I think. And, you know, I think that happened a little bit with the Buffalo kid. This kid, you know, I don't know what his deal is. It seems like just a misfit. And it's just such a shame.
He was bullied. You know, not that that's an excuse, but it's like you're looking for a reason, because there's got to be a reason. No normal person does this. But I don't know. More details will come to light. I already see, you know, more tidbits dropping in as we speak, just about the Facebook posts and about he was like shot with a BB gun. I don't know. I don't know if his parents terrorized him. Again, no excuse, but just not really an excuse, but an explanation. We want an explanation. Why was this person like this? And then how do we obviously prevent this from happening in the future?
Yeah, so. I think, you know, Joe Rogan said it a long time ago, but we have a mental health crisis that's disguised as a gun crisis for people that want to be rid of guns. So they use it as a political club. And I think all these people in any race, creed, whatever, they're crazy. And there's a reason why they're doing this, where they're so hopeless that they just go, I don't care what happens to me. I just want to rage. I want to enact as much carnage as possible. And that's mental illness. So I hope that, you know, Geraldo Rivera, I've told you this before, we talked about it before, but he did an expose in like the 70s or something and got these state mental hospitals shut down. I think that might have been a mistake, because now there's just people living on the streets. It's just societal decay. You kind of got rid of or housed your undesirables with the hopes of maybe rehabilitating them and getting them back out into society. But we don't have those anymore. Yeah. And I think that is contributing to a lot of what we're seeing today. It's been only 40 years or so, but I mean, things have changed quite a bit in that time. All right. Thank you, Anna. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Peter Sunshine 96.7, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next. If you're listening on podcast, that's tremendous. And make sure you share it with a friend. And like it, and give it 5 stars, and I guess that's it. I ask a lot of you people, if you're really enjoying it, you can donate, hmbradio.com/donate. Anna and I definitely do appreciate that. We do this for free because it's fun, but it's always nice to get some sort of recognition. So if you've already rated, already done those things, and if you want to kick in some shekels in the tip jar, tremendous. If not, fine. But I will think less of you. No, I'm just kidding. I would never do that. All right, thank you so much. This has been the Homemade Broadcast on Radio St. Pete, on Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg, and always on hmbradio.com. My name is Will Koontz for Anna Hummel. Have a tremendous week. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.